Will you pray with me? Loving God, in these moments, open our eyes that we might see more clearly who you are, and because of that, who we are, and how we are called to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember going forward at church as a child for something like Time as Children? I do. In the churches where I grew up, it was called the children's message or the children's sermon. And the ones I remember the most were actually ones I went to in churches where I wasn't a member. I can remember how daunting it was as a visiting child to walk up that long aisle in front of all those adults towards a group of kids I didn't know. My family never sat near the front of church, so it was always a long walk. But I knew I was supposed to go because I was a kid. So I knew that I was in the right place, even though it was scary. And I would get all the way up there, and then the pastor or the church teacher would invite all of us to sit down on the floor, and he or she would show an object or ask a question or tell a story, and I would suddenly be swept right up into things. I became a part of the little community of learners up there on the floor. There at the front of the church, the feet of the teacher, at least for those moments, there were no insiders or outsiders. There was just us children. Here at First Baptist Church, we always have a children's message as part of our worship service, but we've always called it by a different name, or at least as long as I've known, we call it Time as Children. When Paul and I first came to First Baptist Church, I really thought that was kind of a clunky title, Time as Children. Why not just call it Children's Time? When I asked, Sue Ellen explained the deeply theological reason for this unusual title. That tiny two-letter word, as, carries big meaning. It signifies that this moment in our worship service is a moment for all of us to remember that we come before God as children. It's a time to recognize our need to listen and to keep learning, a time to approach God again with a childlike faith. And it's a chance to claim again our status, not just as children, but specifically as God's children. It makes us family. We're sons and daughters of God. We are brothers and sisters in a family of faith. No insiders or outsiders. We are one. That identity, child of God, is an answer to a question we don't always ask. It's one of the biggest, most basic, most comprehensive questions in life. Who am I? But unless we're going through some major developmental transition, like adolescence or young adulthood, or the shocking arrival of midlife, or retirement, we don't always pay attention to the big, persistent questions of identity and the related questions of purpose. We're bombarded with cultural messages about who we are or who we're supposed to be, and it's easier just to simply accept those answers. We spend our days doing all the things that have to get done. So it's very easy to just be asleep to the bigger questions of who am I really? And how should I live? In his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul breaks down these questions in the straightforward way of the best children's messages, telling us in simplest terms who we were, who we are, and what that means for how we live. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Notice that he doesn't say that once you were in darkness and now you are in light. No, he's talking about core identity here, and he does so in sweeping but succinct terms. You were darkness. Now you are light. It's easy to lose sight of the reality of our central identity. We are busy. We are tired. We are anxious about so many things. And so we settle for easy, acceptable definitions of who we are. Consumers, producers, Americans, Democrats or Republicans. But the reality is that we are so, so much more than our prescribed roles. It is hard to believe, and it is hard to remember, and it is hard to live up to. But here is the honest truth. You are light. You are light for this world. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Therefore, he says, walk as children of light. This word, walk, is used over and over again in this letter and in the other epistles of the New Testament to refer to conduct, behavior, the entire way of living and being. To walk is to put your full self in motion towards a destination. You leave one place behind. You move forward. It's an all-encompassing way of life. Child of light is an identity that results in a distinctive way of being in the world. A way that, according to Paul, leads to goodness and righteousness and truth. In his book, Tattoos on the Heart, The Power of Boundless Compassion, Jesuit priest Gregory Boyle writes about his work in the poorest communities of Los Angeles working in gang intervention. Over the years, he has baptized thousands of gang members, describing the moment of baptism for them as something like an awakening, the clearing of a new path. They are making a definitive, conscious choice to walk away from an old life and into the light. In contrast to their gang culture, which is predicated entirely on conditional acceptance. If you do this, then you are in. These young men embrace and are embraced by the reality of unconditional love and absolute acceptance. Miguel was a young man who had lived through really horrible things, including being abandoned by his family as a child. He was baptized by Father Greg, and he moved into a life of constantly exuding hope, goodness, and kindness towards others, a complete contrast to his life in the gang. When Father Greg asked him how, after all he had been through, he managed to show such abundant compassion and joy. Miguel spoke powerfully of his discovery of this spark of light within himself, the discovery of the reality that he's a beloved child of God, fully accepted. He said, "You know, I always suspected that there was something of goodness in me, but I just couldn't find it. Until one day, I discovered it here in my heart. I found it. Goodness. And ever since that day, I have always known who I was. And now, nothing can touch me." Our own choices may not seem as stark as his. Our own conversions may seem less total. But the claim of God on our lives is no less complete. The early Christian baptismal hymn Paul quotes to the Ephesians is aimed at us too. "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Here is the thing about waking up to our true identity as children of God's light and then choosing to live like it. You are never too old, never too unprepared, never too late in the course of your life, never too broken or bitter or ashamed to claim this truth, to claim this reality, or to let it claim you, and then to get up and walk in that light. Wherever you are is the entry point. Be willing to begin, and then be willing to begin again. It's what we do here every Sunday. We start again. We let ourselves come as children. We try to stay teachable. We try to let our hearts be tender and open to each other and to God and to wonder. We try to let go of our shame and our guilt and our fear, so that our lives can reach toward the high purposes of goodness and righteousness and truth. We let ourselves be vulnerable. We dare to trust in the radical reality that as children of God's light, we have been made family to each other. A new kind of family based only on the grace of absolute acceptance and unconditional love. And then we go out from here, daring to believe the truth that we are light and we can live like it. When I was a child and the children's message was over, we would be dismissed to children's church. We would leave the sanctuary following our teacher, and that walk was never as long or as scary as the one I had taken to get to the front of the church. And that's because when I walked out of the sanctuary, I was no longer walking alone.